I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. Now, the Rhoda Psychic Fair has been a constant in Monterey County for the past 34 years. Our last fair was October 21st and 22nd, and our next event is October 13th and 14th at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. I encourage you to sign up for the email list on rhodapsychicfair.com and goodvibrationsradio.com so you can be notified about the upcoming events. Now, we've had Kirilani at the beginning of the month brought us up to date on the energy of February with the focus on the month and the year on relationships. We also had Dr. Arnie Buss, who spoke about interpersonal communications last week. And if you missed any part of those broadcasts, you can visit the podcast page of Good Vibrations Radio. The link is on the homepage of goodvibrationsradio.com, and you can just link on over. You can listen online or download to listen at your convenience. Now, before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I completed a series of formal studies. This show shares a variety of metaphysical subjects and guests so that you can draw from that to find what works for you and what applies to your life. Now, for those who listen regularly, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh, and he chose the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. Allen wanted all of us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters your life. Your present reality is a direct outcome of the past thoughts, intentions, and beliefs, but your future is not predestined by your past. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, intentions, and beliefs, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. So for the 19th day of the month, James Allen shares, Good thoughts bear good fruit. Every thought seed sown or allowed to fall into the mind and to take root there produces its own, blossoming sooner or later into act and bearing its own fruitage of opportunity and circumstance. Good thoughts bear good fruit, bad thoughts bear bad fruit. And that's the essence of that piece. Whatever we're putting inside is what we'll produce. It's what we'll push out. It's what we'll attract. You know, according to Dr. David Sobel, who's a primary care physician and author of the Mind Body Health newsletter, only 16% of the people who visit their doctor with symptoms of nausea or headache or stomach upset, only 16% have a physical organic cause. That means 84% of the people with those symptoms are suffering from thought-induced illness. This tells us that a majority of us think our way to illness. The more you focus on your grievances, the more you will attract bad fortune. The more good fortune you focus on, the more good fortune you can expect. Good thoughts bear good fruit. I've shared many times that I have a series of prayers and affirmations I use each day to help me focus on the positive. And I do a morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers. I do gratitude affirmations throughout the day. I do Ho'oponopono. I do unconditional love affirmations. And I collect a positive thought from the daily word produced by the Unity School of Christianity. And the daily word for Monday, February 19th, says, I meet life with a resounding yes. I love that. I think that's the mantra for the rest of 2018. Meet life with a resounding yes. And that yes brings us to our segment host for today. Joyce Day Muse was born and raised in the Washington, D.C. area, where she developed an early interest in astrology. She learned all she could from books and from observing friends and family and the qualities of their signs. And after moving to the central coast of California, she met a practicing astrologer who generously shared his knowledge with her. She also met an aura reader who taught classes based on the curriculum of the Berkeley Psychic Center. And in 1980, Joyce was ordained as a metaphysical minister who could give readings, healings, and consultations. 38 years later, Joyce has done thousands of readings. She's become a fixture at local psychic fairs. She's taught metaphysical and astrology classes to hundreds of people and performed numerous weddings. She's hosted many radio shows specializing in quick on-the-spot readings, as well as the longer in-depth consultations for private clients. Joyce continues giving readings and to be of service for those who need clarity, guidance, and encouragement and support. She joins us the third Monday of each month from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. So let's do a little musical introduction to Joyce Day Muse for her Your Lucky Stars segment.
We are the travelers on the road. We are the travelers on the road, drinking the sunshine, bathing the moonlight, guided by starlight, warmed by the glow of the hearts of family, returning to their home, vanishing like the stars in the early morning dawn to roam.
Well, Joyce, we welcomed you with that beautiful music from your husband, Peter Muse. So welcome to Good Vibrations Radio.
Thank you, Salazar. I appreciate it.
And I know you're a little under the weather today, so we'll just let listeners know that you're struggling with a cold at the moment.
I am. I'm feeling fine. But if I have to cough, I'll just... I wish I had a mute button.
Well, if you have to cough, I suggest you cough.
Yeah. I've had two servings of cough syrup and a number of cough drops, so hopefully I'll be able to communicate.
Yeah, three hot toddies and a shot of tequila and you're ready to go.
Yeah. I might not cough, but I might not make any sense. Yeah, so we're finally in the sign of Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac. The sun went into Pisces yesterday. So, last week was such a doozy. We had Mardi Gras on Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, and Valentine's Day, and that horrible shooting in Florida on Wednesday. And then we had our last eclipse for a while on Thursday. We had a new moon solar eclipse in the 27th degree of Aquarius. And then Friday was Chinese New Year. So So, you know, rarely are there four things in a row, four semi-holidays in a row. And, you know, eclipses are wild cards. Often horrific things like the massacre in Florida do happen on an eclipse. And this eclipse happened to hit the chart of the USA, which has the moon in the 27th degree of Aquarius. So that eclipse fell exactly on the moon of the USA's chart. And the moon is like the heart. It's like the emotions of the country. And our moon is in Aquarius, which is that part of the USA character that is independent and political and, you know, don't tread on me type of energy. And it falls in the third house of the USA's chart, which is the house of early education and siblings. So it's one of the houses of children. So I had no idea what to expect. I mean, I always hope for the best and prepare for the worst. That last eclipse we had on January 31st, we had a number of train wrecks right after, or even on the same day. So eclipses are wild cards. You just don't know what's going to happen. And always many dramatic things happen. So that shooting was the big thing. And unlike other mass shootings, because this one fell on the eclipse and on the chart of the USA, I really think that people's reaction to it is really going to make a difference. It kind of awakened this Pluto and Sagittarius generation, these kids from that school in Florida, and it's spreading to other young people. Pluto was in Sagittarius from 1995 until 2008. So this is the first generation that has Pluto in Sagittarius, like our generation had Pluto and fire. And we also just entered into the year of the dog, the Chinese New Year of the dog. And the dog is very much a year of, you know, fairness and causes and fighting for just causes. It's a step away from materialism. If people make their mind up to stand up for a cause, they're not going to let it go. So I really think we're witnessing the transition of power to a new generation. And it's sad how it had to be triggered like it was. But it's very exciting to see these articulate, bright, media savvy kids stand up for themselves. You know, if we were unable to bring about rational gun control, they're going to do it. Everything we were unable to do, they have such a better chance of doing. Now that the sun is in Pisces, hopefully we have an opportunity to be more heart-centered, more compassionate, and more tuned in to our own intuition and to kind of a collective unconscious or the collective conscience. So, you know, now that we're in Pisces, you know, we may feel more emotional, we may be more sensitive, but it's a very spiritual sign. It's a very creative sign. It can also be a very confusing sign because Pisces is like open to all options. It's not discriminating. It's not great at making choices. It's really the go with the flow sign. And what's coming up in the next 2 weeks is when the sun goes into a sign, Mercury and Venus stay close to the sun. So the planet of communication, Mercury, it went into Pisces on Saturday night. So Mercury is in Pisces. And Venus in Pisces. Venus already went into Pisces back on the 10th of February. So now we have the Sun, Mercury, Venus, Neptune, and Chiron, which is not a planet, but it features prominently in astrology these days. So we have five bodies in the sign of Pisces. So first, Venus is going to hit the planet Neptune, and that happens on Wednesday the 21st. So Wednesday the 21st can be a very romantic day, a very creative day, but it can also be a very ungrounded and spacey day. So Venus conjuncts Neptune on the 21st, and then Mercury, the mental planet, runs into Neptune on the 25th, Sunday the 25th. So then our minds can be more elevated, but also potentially more confused. So, and finally on March 4th, the Sun conjuncts Neptune. So Neptune is kind of the planet that we're watching out for the next 2 weeks. So Neptune is considered the modern ruler of the sign Pisces. Jupiter is the traditional ruler of the sign Pisces. So while all these Pisces planets run into Neptune, they take on kind of the energy of Neptune, which is creative, it's spiritual, it's intuitive, it's idealistic. And maybe that's what we're seeing in these kids that are taking political action to save their own lives. I mean, it is dramatic.
Now, when Mercury creates the aspect against Neptune, would that create any confusion in communication clarity? Would we feel almost like a small little retrograde, even though it's not a retrograde? Or would it give us greater clarity of more of the spiritual aspects that you were referring to?
Well, they say there's three prongs to Neptune. You know, it's the trident. So mm-hmm. there's the spiritual side, there's the creative side, and there's the confusing side. So mental clarity isn't what we expect when Mercury hits Neptune, although our intuition can be more awakened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Mercury conjunct Neptune would be more of a signature of a very psychic person. And maybe people will have psychic hunches, but not logic, not clarity, more nebulous than that, more astral plane mm-hmm. than that.
Okay.
I mean, you're probably more likely to have a vision or an apparition on Sunday the 25th. If you're a meditator, you could go really deep and get really elevated in your meditation. And interestingly, on that day, the sun is also in a positive relationship to the planet Saturn. So that can help ground us. You know, we don't have to float away into the astral. Our mind can, but sun sextile Saturn keeps our feet closer to the ground. And I don't know about you, Solazar, but since Saturn has gone into Capricorn, I've never been so productive. I mean, we have a beautiful 3-year transit of Saturn in its own sign of Capricorn. So hopefully that's going to keep us grounded no matter what Neptunian things are going on. And other things with Neptune can be duplicitousness and mental manipulation. People can be liars and manipulators. And we've certainly seen a lot of that. And one of the things that's going on in the U.S. is that the USA's progressed sun is in the same degree as transiting Neptune. And that's going on for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a one-day thing. So we're having to work with Neptune energy in this country. So maybe a lot of people are manipulated and brainwashed and are believing things that just aren't true. And this digging for the truth, you know, is part of it. Well, that's Saturn in Capricorn. And also the year of the dog will help us find the truth. You know, the year of the dog is doggedly determined to get to the bottom of things. So it's interesting that the day we went into the Chinese year of the dog is the day that the Justice Department released those 13 indictments against Russians. So that was like kind of like the first positive breakthrough we've had in the case of this Russian manipulation of our voting.
And, yeah, pretty much. Go ahead.
Neptune describes, Neptune is the kind of energy where you are manipulated and fooled, like we've been manipulated and fooled by the Russians in this last election cycle.
Yeah.
So now we've just got to work with the Americans that are helping the Russians, you know, and get that cleared up. You know, all of this is part of the upcoming Pluto return of the USA. I mean, the farther we go and the more that things happen, it just seems like we're back in a way to where we were in the 1770s when we were being manipulated by Great Britain and, you know, declared our independence and fought the Revolutionary War. Even this shooting crisis, this gun control crisis, you know, maybe the Second Amendment isn't given from God above. You know, maybe we can change the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Maybe it doesn't have to always stay the same. Other countries are doing such a better job of taking care of their people and protecting their people from rampant gun abuse. So I'm not thoroughly convinced that we won't have some kind of political resurgence or even revolution. I mean, the Pluto return isn't until 2022. So we've got some time to make things right. Otherwise, I think there will be a revolution. So what were you going to ask? You don't remember.
No, I don't. I don't. That's okay. What you shared was powerful and wonderful. I was going to ask a question, but I just don't remember what it was. So we can go on.
Okay. So the next month, as the sun moves through the sign of Pisces, it's March 4th that the sun conjuncts with Neptune. And then Mercury moves into Aries on the 5th, and Venus moves into Aries on the 6th. So we start getting a lot more fired up on the 5th and the 6th. So we're not going to be in this kind of Neptunian, Piscean, astral fog too long. And we really need to make hay while the sun shines, because we do get a retrograde Mercury on March 22nd. So for the next month, we should try to be as productive as possible. Now, March starts out with a full moon on the 1st. So that's kind of nice. The sun in Pisces, the moon in Virgo, it's not an eclipse. So in March, we're getting away from all this eclipse energy that's still going to be with us for the rest of February. I mean, the eclipse was on the 15th, and the energy of the eclipse can go on for like 6 months.
Mm.
You know, there seems to be an intensity right at the time of the eclipse, but the changes that it's sparking can continue, which gives me hope for the potential for political change and maybe some sanity in the current Congress, hopefully passing some gun control legislation. And then, you know, hopefully in November, these jokers get voted out. And I really think this massacre is going to make a big difference in all of the politicians that take money from the NRA. I think it's even more likely that we have a blue wave. And I just read somewhere there's like 500 women running for office in November. So I think I said on the last show or the show before that it's the women and the younger generation that's going to take over. It's like this Donald Trump joker is the last of the patriarchy, the last of the worst of the patriarchy that's coming to an end. So hopefully he won't serve out his term, and it does seem like things are closing in on him. Because he is absolutely the worst president that's ever been heard of. And, you know, as we get further along in the Mueller investigation and find out just how much the Russians placed him in office, hopefully we'll be able to get rid of him sooner rather than later.
You know, I did remember what it was I was going to comment on, and it goes back to Chinese New Year on Friday, when you said it was interesting that we had the indictments of the 13 Russians that were responsible for a lot of the propaganda and the fake news, et cetera, and so on, the infiltration of the U.S. Election. And what I thought was the most significant piece, and I think it's proven by everything you've discussed so far, is that that put to rest the idea that there was Russian interference. So you have to really have your head under a rock and in a hole in the ground to say there was no Russian interference, which was a lot of the dialogue going on leading up to this. So I'm hopeful, from what you said, that going forward, we're going to have more layers of the onion peeled away. And when you talk about having the Pluto return in 2022, I'm hoping we'll have had the revolution by then, and we'll be able to reclaim this country as a country for the people once again.
Right.
So I think all the movements that you're talking about kind of are hopeful in that regard. They're very, very hopeful. Just wanted to share that thought.
Yeah, yeah. I'm feeling hopeful too. And mainly because of these kids in Florida.
Yeah.
And then another group of them in D.C. today who lie down in front of the White House. You know, if these kids get a hold of this cause, you know, everything's going to change. it's kind of like our generation, the Pluto and Leo generation. It's like when we came up, Kennedy was assassinated. And then, like, within a couple of months, the Beatles came in. And everything changed quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're seeing here, that everything can change quickly. Yeah. And that this new generation is going to feel their power and express their power. And they have a cause, a righteous cause, to stand up for. You know, and that's the lifeblood of this country, is that revolutionary spirit and that zeal for truth. And I think the Chinese Year of the Dog is going to help us with that, because the dog doesn't want any bullshit. Mm. You know, the Year of the Dog wants it real, you know, wants truth and integrity. And, you know, it's just a more... it just seems like a more grounded, down-to-earth year than the year of the rooster was.
Yeah.
You know, we to put up with all the ego and vanity of Donald Trump and the Republicans.
Well, it's rooster.
You know, they sure, the rooster, yeah. Not that I have anything against animal roosters, but it is a cocky sign.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's just... I mean, everything you said says, yep, that was a rooster. That was a rooster year we put up with.
Yeah, yeah.
And dogs are loyal. They're honest. You know, they let you know one way or the other. So they're pretty direct. And they have integrity.
Yeah. You know, and I think the combination of Donald Trump and the Russians and their influence on our last election is really shown by this Neptune energy, and hopefully we're coming out of it. Not that everybody's going to believe it. I mean, I don't know why not. But I think the Fox viewers, the Fox News viewers, are the older folks. I don't think the younger generation, for a few.
But some of them may get their news from Breitbart or InfoWars, some of the younger ones, you know, and InfoWars are the really nutcases, in case there's any InfoWars people out there listening. You're the real nutcases. I want you to know that.
Yes. I don't think they're listening, Salazar.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not.
I don't think they believe in metaphysics.
No. No, they don't. You know,
and you know, metaphysics is not a religion. I think it's tools that can help us, like astrology, to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And what we can learn from it.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So we're in the last month of the astrological year because we have the sun in Pisces. We'll have the full moon in Virgo on March 1st. And then we'll have the new moon in Pisces on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And then we have the vernal equinox, the first day of spring. And the chart of the new year coming up March 20th. It's on the 20th this year. And that's when the sun goes into the sign of Aries. And we'll already have Mercury and Venus in Aries. And Uranus is spending its last year and a half in Aries. So in May, Uranus, the planet of revolution and transformation, is going into the sign Taurus, the earthy feminine sign of Taurus, out of the fiery masculine sign of Aries. Now, it's not going to stay in Taurus. It'll spend a few months in Taurus, then come back into Aries. And then by 2020, it'll be permanently in Taurus. And by permanently, I mean 7 years. So that's going to be a whole different energy. But we are still dealing with Uranus square Pluto. I mean, right now, Pluto's at 20 degrees of Capricorn and Uranus is at 25 degrees of Aries. So they're still close enough to a square that we're going through this stressful, anxiety-provoking decade that's just, you know, just thrown the baby out with the bathwater. You know, life is not like it used to be. But I do think we're going to find our way back to some kind of normalcy when Uranus leaves Aries and we don't have that constant pressure for revolution and change. I mean, Pluto is still doing its thing, moving through Capricorn. And it is going to get pretty interesting as transiting Saturn in Capricorn catches up with Pluto. But that's not for a while. That's like 2020 when those two get together. But I do think Saturn is about cleaning house. Pluto is about transforming structure. And when the two come together, what needs cleaning out will be cleaned out. And by cleaning out, I mean our corrupt plutocracy. You know, I just don't think it can stand much longer in my heart of hearts. Because that's not who we are as a country. I mean, we've been overtaken by the corporations, and now we're overtaken by the Russian oligarchs. And they're all kind of the same thing. Although it was heartening to see that one Republican who funds campaigns saying he would not fund anyone who takes money from the NRA.
Yeah, I saw that.
So there is hope. There is hope.
We've allowed ourselves to get fueled by greed is what happened.
Absolutely.
And so whether it's the oligarchs or whether it's corporations or whether it's even the fascist Republicans, it's all about greed and power. And I agree with you that that doesn't seem to be the country that we were told we lived in, that we were a part of, that we may have believed in. And so it would be nice to get back to that. Maybe we were never in it. We just thought we were.
Well, I know I sometimes get the feeling that what's going on here is karmically justified by the fact that the United States interfered in so many other countries over the last 100 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we don't deserve some of our own coming back.
Yeah.
You know, and it isn't easy to have to stand up and fight to preserve democracy, but what choice do we have? You know, I don't think we're the best democracy in the world, and I don't think our political system is working for us anymore. And I don't know if it's Citizens United and all the corporate money in politics and the Russian money in politics. But I'm so happy to see that Rosenstein standing up and putting out those indictments on Friday saying this is what the Russians did. It doesn't matter what Trump says.
That's right. Yes.
And he's got to go. He's just got to go. I don't know how, but some way, somehow. You know, I don't think I could last a 4-year term myself.
Yeah.
I
mean,
you have to if you have to.
But he's so corrupt
and incompetent.
Yeah, at the start of the year, I felt like I couldn't last another year, honestly. So all of these things are heartening to me, whether he makes it through this year or not. I'm at least hopeful.
Yeah,
but you're right. He represents our shadow side, in my opinion. He is the one thing that this Uranus Pluto square may have done in relation to Trump is bring our shadow side to the forefront and say, look at it. And what parts of yourself do you need to clean up?
Right.
You know, and
well, what's been interesting is the last three eclipses have all hit his chart. I don't even know how he's still standing. But that eclipse we had last August hit his ascendant. I thought that was going to take him out. Then the January 31st eclipse hit his Pluto. Should have killed him. And then this eclipse we just had on the 15th hit his ascendant-descendant, his horizon line. So, you know, it just seems to me, you know, he's been hit three times. I don't know how he's still standing.
Yeah,
you know, well, I think it's his stubbornness or the demon that's operating him.
Well,
doesn't know when to quit.
Yeah, I would think it's cluelessness. It's just cluelessness. And they always say for all of us, it's the pain and pleasure quotient. Either the pleasure is so great or the pain is so great that it either forces us to go toward the pleasure or away from the pain. And right now, I don't think he sees his situation as painful enough to leave.
Hmm.
And there's certainly not an alternative pleasure on the other side worth going for, because he's in the perfect place for feeding his ego. So I don't know. That's what I think anyway. But I believe you're right. Mueller's going to get him eventually. It's going to happen. We just need to be hopeful and keep pushing for change.
Yeah, Uranus is squaring a Saturn-Venus conjunction. Pluto's going to oppose it. I mean, people have been predicting his downfall since he got in, you know, and if his kids go to jail, you know, that should knock the stuffings out of him, even if he doesn't.
And I think we all have to recognize, too, that it's a corrupt administration right now. So it's important for all of us to use this energy to kind of shore up our own lives, to make sure that we're not so externally focused that we fail to pay attention to our own infrastructure, our own stability, our own security, and that we're doing what we can to give ourselves, you know, a good place to land should things get tough, or a good place to be should things get better.
Right. And we can't sacrifice our own lives because of the obsession with him.
Mm-hmm.
We had some visitors from Canada this last week, and it surprised me. One of them said, he said, I'm just so sick of all the media focus on Trump. And I foolishly thought, well, if you're not in the United States, you don't have to see him so much. But I guess on their news, he's just as prevalent as he is here. You know, it's like constantly watching a car wreck.
Yeah.
You know, day after day after day. You know, and it isn't going to be easy when everything comes crumbling down. You know, those people who believe in him, you know, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard on all of us when the whole game collapses. But I know a lot of us will be dancing in the streets. But
yeah,
still, you know, to have gone through this kind of a crisis for over a year, you know, this kind of constant anxiety and pressure, it's traumatic. It's really affecting us. But I think one of the good results will be that a lot of what we expect of our president will be codified into law. You know, other presidents just did it because they had integrity. They sold their businesses. They didn't take money from foreign countries. You know, I mean, a lot of that is codified, and he just ignored it.
Yeah, he just ignored it.
But a lot of this stuff wasn't made into law. It was just expected. So we're going to have to rewrite a lot of our laws. And even, you know, who can be elected president? You know, we shouldn't sell guns to crazy people, and we shouldn't let crazy people be the president. Don't
yeah.
you think?
Oh, absolutely. And we always believed, because we do have a series of checks and balances, it's just they're not working because the party in power is facilitating codependently the incompetent president, because they want their agenda and they know he'll sign it. So we'll probably have to have laws for that too, like you said. It's just, it's astonishing. It's amazing. But yet at the same time, we know that when we look at this in the rearview mirror, we're going to say that was an amazing time to live through. It's like the 60s. We never thought the violence and the riots and the friction between police and protesters would stop. We never thought it would stop. We probably never, I don't think we thought Vietnam would stop.
I know.
It seemed interminable, but yet we kind of made it through. And in the rearview mirror, we can say that was an astonishing time to live through. And I think it's the same with this time.
Yeah. But this whole thing of the gun violence has got to end.
Oh.
It's just not humane. It's just not, you know, we just can't live with this.
I think the gun lobby is finally losing its argument.
Yeah.
You know, when that, just like you said, when that young girl stood up there in Florida and said what she said, and that more and more are choosing to do it, the gun lobby is losing its argument, and its argument was only for greed. This just proves greed wins for a period of time, but it can't win for all times if people speak out, if people stand up. And I think everything you've shared, the energy of everything going on, tells us that this is our time to be true to ourselves, to speak our truth clearly and directly, and to not be afraid or kowtowed by those who we know misrepresent what the truth is.
Right. Well, it seems to me that's the battle for the next few years, is separating fact from fiction. You know, finding the truth hidden within the lies and the manipulation. And, I mean, I'm feeling like I should quit Facebook, because you just don't know who's putting what up. You know?
I know.
It's like, it's just not safe. It's just, it's corrupt,
yeah.
You know, and all these divisions, you know, what they did to Hillary was just unconscionable, but it's because she stood up to Putin.
Yeah. And one of the things I shared today with, actually with my sister back east, is my brother-in-law is very much a born-again Roman Catholic, very hardcore, but, what I also think people need to look at, and I'm just throwing that out there, people have got to stop being one-issue voters. You know,
right.
People voted for Trump because he would be against abortion. You know, and and that was it. Everything else got ignored. People voted, didn't vote for Hillary because she wasn't enough of a feminist when she stood by her man, you know, and he's a serial molester or whatever. I mean, so people have got to look at, we've got to stop saying it's the one issue. It's the one defining issue that makes us select or reject a candidate, because we really need to look at the totality of the person. And there are issues that I'm totally in favor of choice. And I would like to believe I would never vote for somebody who wasn't in favor of choice. But if I only made that my one vote issue, and ended up voting for a Trump because he was in favor of choice, I really have to examine my whole set of principles.
Right.
You know, so I We've got to stop that. That's the most damaging thing we've done in the last several elections, and this election really highlights that tremendously. Even the Bernie voters who continued to vote for Bernie because of corrupt Hillary. And frankly, I feel bad for Hillary Clinton in one sense. I cannot imagine having been under assault for 30 years and being able to even walk out to go buy a pack of gum. You know, I would probably be sitting in a corner sucking my thumb.
I know.
You know?
She is an amazing Scorpio.
Yeah. You know? And I'm not putting her on a pedestal, but I really do admire her. I really do.
I know. We could have had, I mean, she's probably righteously the president. You know, she was prepared. She was, you know, nobody had been more prepared for the office than her. You know,
and
but
the indictment,
misogyny.
Yeah, the misogyny. Hate. Oh, huge misogyny. And the indictments clearly show that it was a coordinated effort by the Russians to really, it was to defeat Hillary at all costs.
At all costs.
And
yeah.
So everybody else, whether it was Bernie or Jill Stein or Trump, were all the beneficiaries. You know, it was defeat Hillary at all costs. And then when it was just Trump and Hillary, you know, Trump was the beneficiary. You know, so it continued on. And everybody needs to examine what they chose to believe versus what was factual. We really do, and I wish people would. Otherwise, we're doomed to repeat it.
Right. Well, it looks like we'll have some marches coming up. You know,
right.
Let the young people be the leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. That's important because that's actually what we had in the 60s. It was the youthful energy because you believe that you'll live forever. You know, you just think you can do
yeah.
it and make it happen. You have all the hope and you have less of the feeling that you've been beaten down by the world yet. You're willing to fight against power.
Right.
So I hope they do. I wish them well, and they certainly have my support. So Joyce, how can people get in touch with you to get their reading, their in-depth consultation for the new year coming on?
Yes, people should get a reading while I'm still alive.
Well, that was a hopeful thought.
Yes, yes. So my phone number is 831-236-6572. I am on Facebook under Joyce Muse Pacific Astrology. And I can do short readings, long readings, phone readings, Skype readings. And when I'm better, I can even see you in person. So that's 831-236-6572. And, you know, we need to get through this together. That's
yeah.
what it's all about, is community and support. And just making it possible for all of us to move forward and get through this difficult time and get back to living good lives.
Well, that might be pushing it for me, but I do think we can. I mean, that might be, you know, too much pressure. Oh, it's got to be a good life. Oh. I thought I just had to get up and do things. So I also want to remind folks.
As good as possible.
Yeah, that's right. So I want to remind folks, you will be back with us, of course, on March 19th. And also on March 30th, we'll be doing the quarterly preview over at the Monterey Elks Lodge. And
yes,
they can get their
yes.
preview of April, May, and June of really carrying themselves forward for the next quarter, get a good visionary perspective.
And that's the day before the full moon.
That's right. It's also Good Friday for those who celebrate it, but since we were doing the quarterly preview, I thought it was a Good Friday anyway. So
Yes. It will be a Good Friday.
That's right. So any final thoughts, Joyce, that you would like to share with us or leave us with?
Well, just my love and blessings to everybody. and stay well.
Same to you. May you get well and heal up quickly and stay warm in this chilly little Monterey night.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Solazar.
Thank you, Joyce. Thank you so much. I want to let everyone know that, as I told you, Joyce will be back next month on the 19th of March, so that's a good thing. As we close out today, let's just keep Joyce's words in our mind. This is a hopeful time. It's time for all of us to shore up our lives, to look forward with hope, to pay attention, to be active, to be involved, and to be part of community. And as long as we can do all of that, we can all make a difference in this world. Sometimes people get all concerned about what's my purpose in this world, and our purpose may just be to hold hands. And that may be enough, because holding your hand may give me the strength to go on and make more actions. So I want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We'll be back next Monday on the 26th with Dr. Catherine Bell, an experiential dream worker, who's got a conference coming up in Santa Cruz in March, and she's going to be talking about that. And she's wonderful, and I love her work, and she's a former NASA scientist who became a dream worker, left her role at NASA to engage in that work and be of assistance to people. So I thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. If you need to get in touch with Joyce and didn't get the number, check Pacific Astrology on Facebook, or also connect with her by going to the goodvibrationsradio.com guest page, and you can connect on the link right there over to Joyce, to get in touch with her for your private reading. Have a great week. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.